Welcome, everybody, to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you today.
Yeah.
Well, look, everybody, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective, and our topic for today is the top five reasons executives hire a coach. That should be interesting. You know, I've been doing this radio show since 2009, and even the producer, Paul, keeps asking me, Doug, what does a coach really do? And hardly a week goes by that some coach doesn't call me and wants to talk about what does it take to be a business coach? So today I'd like to respond to those questions based on my experience of coaching business executives for the last 20 years. Well, first, let me qualify what I'm going to say by stating that none of the examples that I'm going to use today involve current clients. So all of my current clients listening, you can relax. Instead, I went back over my inactive client list and I identified for each engagement what the main issue was that I coached them on. Note that I said what I coached them on, not what they originally came to me for. The two are not always the same thing. Which brings up the other reason for this discussion. It's not at all unusual for a prospective client to come to me looking for help and yet not be really clear on what they need help with. Sort of like going to the doctor because you don't feel well, but you can't identify what's really wrong with you. You still go to the doctor, so you should still come to your coach. You also need to know that in today's context, I use the term executive to mean anyone who supervises other people regardless of what level they are at in the organization. I've coached executives who are owners, CEOs, or first-line supervisors. So that's my definition. So what are the top five reasons that business executives hire a coach? I'm going to give you the answer right now at the top of the show. Here's what we're going to talk about. Number one, goals. Identifying, setting, and achieving both personal goals and long-term strategic goals for either a company or a division. Two, relationships. Getting along with other individuals, both inside the company and externally. And three, structure, either structure of your job or for the company. Four, accountability, which is really the execution of ideas. And five, culture, creating a positive environment for teams and groups to work in. Those are the top five issues that clients have benefited the most from as a result of my coaching. Of course, there are many other things that I've coached on that were valuable or just timely, but these five are the ones that seem to consistently be the issues with the greatest ROI to the business client. So let's get started. Number one was goals, identifying, setting, and achieving both personal goals and long-term strategic goals for a company or a division. Well, I was surprised to be asked by this particular CEO to coach him on the issue of a long-term strategic plan. I was surprised because this was an established company with hundreds of employees that was making a good profit. But he was concerned that since he was in the technology business, that any day he could wake up and be out of business by virtue of some new and improved product or service. In our first meeting, I asked him who else was going to be involved in helping to develop this plan. And that ended up generating a number of discussions over a number of coaching sessions about who were his key people, and it helped him to identify the lack of certain key skills that he would need to go forward in any new area. Unlike many CEOs that I've coached on this issue, he did not have any lack of ideas. In fact, the issue was too many ideas. As we talked through each idea, though, he was able to identify those that had the most likelihood of success and those that were achievable given the constraints around people and money. The coaching in this case involved big gaps of time in between our individual coaching sessions because this was not an urgent issue. It was important but not urgent, and it also allowed him time to follow up on the results of each coaching session. This CEO was definitely a self-starter also, and he needed very little accountability coaching. What he did need was someone to listen to him, to mirror back what he was saying, and to help keep him focused on an individual idea before he went off on a tangent with some other new great idea that just came up while he was talking. In a few sessions, I stepped into a consulting role in terms of identifying steps that he should take to develop a strategic plan, such as a SWOT analysis. But these were very minor roles, and the real value to him was the coaching to stay focused. Now, I mentioned the consulting, and I'm going to do that a couple of times today in this broadcast, because I consistently get asked by people, well, do you really coach or are you consulting? Well, you know, that's always a gray area, not in my mind, but maybe in the client's. People tend to come to me and select me as a coach the same way they select a consultant. They select me because of my background of business experience, because they don't have any experience or knowledge or ability to evaluate my experience or value as a coach. Now, if I'm being hired by an HR department, that's a whole different thing. They're usually pretty knowledgeable about, is this a coach that can help us or not? So I want to identify where I step across the line with the client's permission and say, I've had some experiences that if you would like me to, I'll share them with you. These may help you. We're going to step outside the coaching role for a minute. Now, that may happen a number of times, but I will say that it never happens for any long period of time, and it really never is the real value in what the coaching is all about and the ROI. You know, in the area of coaching an individual, not a company, in developing their personal goals, this is quite different from the previous example of strategic planning. Here, the issue is usually focused around answering the question of, what do you want? I've coached individuals who took over the family business, run it successfully, and then found out that was not what they wanted to spend their life doing. In this case, our coaching centered around exploring what their strengths were, what their interests were, what gave them energy and happiness when they worked on it. Once we identified specific tasks that met this criteria, then we tried to identify patterns. For instance, if every time you worked with a group of people, you enjoyed it no matter what you were working on, that's a pattern. This then led us to explore what kind of activities, what kind of environment, what kind of businesses would give him this opportunity. You know, in recent years, with the aging of the baby boomers, I've run into more coaching assignments with executives about to retire who need to look at how they're going to spend the second half of their life. Something they've not thought about because they've been too busy working for the last 40 years to think about it. Identifying the goals is just the start of the journey with these individuals. They all need accountability coaching to stay focused on achieving these goals, or they go right back to working on the existing business or the job right up until the day they collect the gold watch. Old habits are very hard to break, especially when they've served you so well for the last 40 years. In these type of engagements, as a coach, what I'm providing is encouragement, discipline, and accountability. In many cases, it seems like the weekly coaching is almost not enough because we're trying to break long-term habits. So that's number one. Number two we identified in terms of the five top reasons people hire a coach is relationships, getting along with other individuals both inside the company and externally. Relationship coaching. Sounds like this is for a life coach, not a business coach, right? No. If I had to rank the five top reasons by which is the most common, then this would have been number one. If you're uncomfortable with the term relationship coaching in the business world, then just change it to communication coaching. This is one of the few areas of business coaching where what they came to me looking for is exactly what they needed to work on. No secret, when you can't get along with people, whether it's your partner, your peers, your clients, or your staff, the problem is pretty obvious, even if the solution isn't. Well, let me give you an example. My introduction to this particular company was through one of the partners who'd been referred to me by another client. Not uncommon. I was asked to coach one of his partners who the other partners were having a problem with. This company had multiple partners. It wasn't after too many sessions that I was able to identify that The issue was that the partners were not talking to each other about their issues. This expanded the coaching to include all of the partners, at first individually, and ultimately moved into group coaching. In the group coaching, we identified that they had never talked with each other about their values. In fact, they had not even identified, in many cases, to themselves what their values were. Example, one partner's prime value was centered around hours work and sort of keeping to the traditional 9-to-5 work schedule. This created major issues with another one of the partners, who really valued getting the job done and then going home early. Completely the opposite. Another partner valued bringing in new business over doing the work, and this created an issue with one of the partners who was not much of a salesperson, but managed the work once it was brought in into the office very well. It was an eye-opener to the partners to find out that their personal values were not the same as everyone else's. Duh. It seems obvious, but it wasn't. Unfortunately, in this case, most of them were unwilling to either change or to accept the values, their partner's values, where they were different from their own. And the partner went through a change in personnel over time. You know, the sad part of this assignment was that they were all great individuals who contributed in significant ways, but in their own ways. But they never really should have been partners, or at the very least, they should have talked out these differences, these strong feelings they had about their business values, what they valued and what they didn't, before they entered the partnership to determine if, in fact, they could live with someone whose values were different. You know, a happy partnership coaching story is the one of two partners who are about to end their relationship because they each did not think the other was doing their fair share of work. I only coached one of the partners in this case, but it still worked out. That partner was able to realize that a 50-50 split in the work did not take into consideration the unique and the different talents that each partner brought to the business. A redefinition of their roles in the company allowed them each to work on the part of the business that they were best suited for and that part that they enjoyed. As a result, the business flourished due to increased results from their individual efforts. The coaching here was not to define the roles, but to help the client identify what was not working and what could work, even if it was different from what they had originally agreed to. As a consultant, the job might have been to develop great job descriptions, but without the shift in perspective that the coaching created, that shift that says equal work never meant that they were going to be doing the same things, I don't think this would have ever worked out. Well, the third is structure. Whether it's structure of the job that somebody's in or whether it's structure of the company. And the example I want to talk about here is a family business. It was a family business that the son had taken over, and he tried to run it the same way that his father had, with the exception that he didn't want to put in the same extensive hours that dad had put in. As a result, the business was not doing as well as it had before he took over. The coaching in this case started with identifying what he thought his job as president owner was and which parts of that job description was he either not doing or didn't want to do. You know, that sounds like a simple statement, but I want to tell you that it took a number of coaching sessions for him to really identify and explain and get down on paper what the job of president and CEO or president and owner really was all about. And what parts of those jobs did he not like doing, didn't do well, or wasn't going to do? We also had to focus on the issue of him not feeling guilty about doing the job differently than his father had. The coaching allowed him to look at the company not as an existing organization, which it was, a long-term profitable organization, but to look at it as if it was a startup and consider, if it was, how would he like to organize it today? He was able then to identify functions that had always been the president's job as ones that perhaps he could now delegate if he either trained or hired new people. He was able to identify tasks that really couldn't or shouldn't be delegated and that he needed to be more diligent about doing, such as the review of financial information. You know, it turns out that the reason he didn't like to review the financial information was because he didn't understand the reports and also because he wasn't getting the right information. Okay, step out of the coaching role. A little consulting was done here to sort of educate him how to read financial information and to work with them to design some new reports that would give him the kind of information that would allow him to manage without being there 24/7. But back to the coaching, the real ROI was the shift in perspective that allowed him to look at the company differently, to view his role as owner differently, and to not feel guilty about managing this long-term family business differently than it had been run. You know, in the area of structure, one of the more interesting coaching assignments in this area was when I was retained by the new owner of a company who was previously the top salesman to help him identify how to be a better CEO. That's what he came to me with. He said, I need help in being a CEO. I don't know what's involved. I've always been a salesman. You know, in the course of our coaching, it became very clear to him that he didn't want to be a CEO. In fact, it turned out he had really only bought the company to preserve his job because the owner was going to close up the business. And in order to keep his job, which was lucrative, he decided I'll buy the business and run it. In fact, it became clear to him that not only did he not like the job, even though he was a great salesman, that he really didn't like the business he was in. And as we progressed in our coaching, we decided that we needed to include his wife in some of the coaching sessions because it was becoming obvious that this was going in a direction that could have big family impacts. The outcome of this, he sold the company, negotiated a part-time sales position, and started a business doing something that he had been passionate about all his life, but had never considered as a business opportunity. He had just looked at it as a hobby. That new business took off, it became successful, and is now his full-time avocation. Number four. We're buzzing along here. Accountability. Accountability is all about the execution of ideas. It's not about nagging somebody. It's about the execution of ideas. If you can't execute your ideas, then it really doesn't matter how good they are. We usually think of accountability as a part of the coaching process. However, occasionally, in my experience, it becomes the prime coaching function. I was asked by the CEO of a service-oriented business to come in to coach him. He wasn't sure what he wanted from the coaching, but he'd been told by one of my other clients that he should talk to me. I could help him. He explained that he didn't know what had happened, but suddenly things weren't working anymore in the company. No one did what they were supposed to, and it was always someone else's fault. As we talked further, it became clear that this suddenly, when this happened, was when the firm had added more people so that a system was now required to inform everyone on what was happening. It used to be that with a few people in the company, they all knew what each other was doing. It also became clear that the CEO wanted to spend his time on the technical aspects of the business and not in managing people. He finally agreed that things would be better, if they started having a weekly staff meeting to go over schedules and issues on the projects. I sat in on the first one of these meetings that he had and afterwards debriefed him with my perspective of, you know, as shadow coaching of what went on in the meeting and, you know, was able to point out some things that maybe he had not observed because he was so involved in the project stuff. He had not, as a result of this debriefing, it became clear that he had not let people know what he expected to come to the meeting with or how to prepare for the meeting. It also turned out that he focused more on why something went wrong, sort of blaming in the meeting, rather than on what was needed to correct the problem. No minutes or actions were taken. So, step aside from the coaching. Some minor consulting was needed. Some training to educate the whole group, not just the CEO, on how to have a good meeting. What needs to be done? What's the process? What's done before? What's done during? What's done after? Once this was done, my follow-up showed that the CEO was still finding reasons not to have the meeting on a regular basis. So we set up an accountability system. That system included him sending me agendas prior to the meetings, being emailing them to me the day before, and also, at his request, my attending the meetings and continuing to debrief him and any other staff members where it was necessary after the meetings as to how well they functioned in the meetings and how they could have done better. And we continued this until everyone was comfortable that they knew how a meeting should be run, what was expected of them, and what was needed. You know, my experience is that especially in professional service firms, that the senior staff, no matter how well trained in their discipline, have probably had little training in how to manage. And training alone is not the cure. It is through continued coaching that new good habits of management can be installed. The last item that we're going to talk about here today is culture. Culture is all about creating a positive environment for teams, groups, and groups to work together in. You know, it's strange, but if you ask any employee in any company if the company has a good culture to work in or if it's toxic, they can give you the answer right away. If you ask the senior executives, they will always tell you that it's a positive culture. So what is a good culture? It all boils down to something very simple. It's an environment where people trust one another to do what they say they're going to do and where they support and help each other in doing those things. Changing a company's culture is a group coaching experience. It is not individual coaching. I don't believe that you can ever coach one individual person in the company and get a company-wide cultural change. Even if you are able to change through coaching the bad apple, assuming there was one bad apple in the bunch, the rest of the staff would still need to be coached to create an environment of trust where it previously didn't exist. Team coaching or group coaching is really the ability to have everyone experience the same aha kind of moment that will let them start to change their behavior and their language, because both are needed to make an effective change. Well, I hope that, you know, in talking about the five top reasons that executives hire a coach, we've kind of answered the question, what does a coach do, with some of those examples. And we've talked about the question a little bit about what it takes to be a business coach. It does not take being a consultant. It does not take being a senior executive. It is helpful to understand the language. It is helpful to be able to step out of your role as a coach occasionally when needed to perform minor training, minor consulting. But, you know, that ability, you have to weigh that benefit against the possible negative of being enticed into stepping out of the role too often. You know, as a coach, you really want to count, you want to rely on and lean on your ability to listen, to extract information, to mirror back what the client's saying, to build an environment, to create a dialogue that lets them see things through a new set of eyes so that with their experience in the business, the solutions become relatively obvious to them. Well, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999. And like I say, I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and teams for 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. If you'd like to know more about my coaching service, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach 714-963-0929. Well, if you've been listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. And if you've missed any of our previous shows or you'd like to know what we've talked about in the past, just go to our Podbean site. That's dgefeller, D-G-F-E-L-L-E-R, .podbean.com. Or the webpage on The Coaching Perspective. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.